We're looking at what the Bible says about wisdom tonight. You know, if you ask people, what do you want out of life? It really comes down to this. I just want to be happy. And it's, how do you arrive at that? That's where the disagreement comes. And a lot of people simply have not learned how to apply wisdom enough to their life to ever find happiness. Here's a guy that's got a job and it meets the needs. He gets up one morning and says, you know, I just don't want to go to work today. I want to go to the beach. And so he calls in sick and goes to the beach. And he works two or three more days and he says, you know, man, I just don't want to work today. So he calls in, tell him his rich aunt died and he's got to go to a funeral. And he does something else. And 2 weeks later, he decides to skip work again. And he got by with that. And so next thing you know, he skips 2 days and then he starts getting tardy. And one day he comes in and the promotion that he was maybe in line to get until he got to just doing other things is given to a fellow worker. He gets a bad attitude because he felt that's not fair. I was working here before he was. So he fixes them. He just quits. And he decides, you know what, I'm not cut out for this stuff anyway. I really would prefer to just live on the street. And man, for the next 3 weeks, he didn't go to work a day. And he said, where in the world has this been my whole life? I love it. I found my calling in life. And then one night it's pouring down rain and the wind's blowing. And it's cold and he's wet. He's tired of eating out of trash cans. And so he starts looking for things wherever he can find it and trying to get this and trying to get that. And he decides, I'm not really happy. And the truth is, he's not happy at anything because he doesn't apply wisdom enough to his life choices to gain the benefits from wisdom. Everybody in this room has the opportunity to mesh your life up big time, very, very quickly. And the way a lot of people do that is because they're just not wise. They're not wise in their choices that they make. Do you have enough wisdom to look far enough down the road to delay gratifying all the things you want to do in order to someday be able to actually do those things that you'd like to do? That takes wisdom. So I want us tonight to continue with this. What does the Bible say about wisdom? And there's a whole Bible full of it. We could go in through verse after verse, but we're just staying in the book of Proverbs because Proverbs is a book that is devoted to wisdom. And we have already listed what are the actions of a wise man. Last Wednesday night we gave you 10. If you missed that, get with somebody that has those notes or get the CD of it or something and catch up to where we are tonight. But tonight we begin number 11. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. What are the actions of a wise man? How would you know one if you saw one? Proverbs chapter 20. And look at what it says. Look at verse 1. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. We could add drugs to that. He said, if you get into this, you're not very wise. You know, how many people do you find that have gotten on drugs And after they've gotten there and gotten hooked on it, how many of them are really happy with their life? I mean, you know, why do they call it dope? How could a person, really, how could a person be that unwise? When you now have eyes to see, who do you see? I mean, who do you see stand up and saying, boy, I am so glad I got on dope. Man, I'm telling you what, it is wonderful. I mean, yeah, the drug pusher tells you that. But really, who in the world would ever choose that? And here's the thing. People choose it every day. Make the choice. Go to a party and some guy says, come on, man. Let me show you how to have fun. Are you really that out of it that you honestly do not know where that leads? The Bible says you're not wise. How many people are hooked on? I've known so many. I could give so many stories tonight of people on alcohol and drugs that are trying their best to kick it, and they just can't quite kick it. They don't respect themselves. They don't respect anybody else. Some of them channel it different ways. Some are just angry at the whole world because they've got a problem and can't overcome it. Some are angry at the ones that try to love them. They come home and beat their wife and beat their kids, and the truth of the matter is it's not them, it's them. They're angry with themselves, and they're taking it out on those around them. Some of them have, because of their problem, they've lost the best chances they've ever had, best jobs, best opportunities for advancement. They've lost the best people in their life. Many of them don't even have a relationship with their own children or grandchildren. And yet nobody took them and in most cases opened their mouth and poured a filth of whiskey down their throat. They chose it. Somewhere or another, they were with a group of people and their mind absolutely had to be totally out of gear. The Bible says they just were not wise enough to say, hey, I'm not going there. I don't want that. I don't want that. Why would I want that? Life is tough enough. You've got to compete out there for everything you get. You need everything you got going for you, not against you. Whosoever is deceived thereby. What does that mean? That's the people who believe it makes you cool. That's a deception. Makes you popular? Yeah. Watch a drunk in his vomit. Tell me how attractive that really is. How cool that really is. Watch the guy come in, slap his wife or his girlfriend, knock her down and send her to the hospital. Tell me how cool that dude really is. How many people have ruined and wrecked and destroyed other people? Oh, I was drunk. Well, who chose for you to be drunk? You did. You're not wise. And see, and even as I'm teaching on this tonight, there are some of you in here are dumb as a stupid ox. Because instead of saying, man, boy, that's right, you're sitting there going, looking over at your little friends going, boy, you're smart. I'm going to tell you, girls, grab up that guy because he's a real winner. Boy, one day he'll be a great father and a great husband. You can tell it already because you can see the wisdom on him right now. Yeah. I mean, boy, girl, you girls ought to stand in line for him. Because you don't find guys like that every day that's that dumb. Huh? A wise man will hear what's being said and said, that's right. Two boys raised by the same father. One of them became a preacher and the other one was a drunk. And you ask both of those men why they chose the career they had. You know what both of them said? Both of them said, how else could I have chosen? If you had known the dad that I had, you would have chosen the same thing I did. Now, the funny thing of it is, one chose to be a drunk because his dad was a drunk. The other one chose, because his dad was a drunk, to spend the rest of his life fighting alcohol. You tell me who has wisdom. The Bible says that a wise person, from this we learn, number 11, people who have wisdom will abstain from alcohol and drugs. You're not going to get them within a mile of it because they have wisdom. They see where it is. They see what it does. They see what it's done to people they love. It's the last thing they want to saddle themselves with in life. People who have wisdom will abstain from alcohol beverages. Look at chapter 28. What are the actions of a wise man? Proverbs chapter 28. Look at verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Now from this we learn, wise men obey God's teachings. Wise men obey God's teachings. You see, I have this belief. I believe the Bible is the very best guide in life for every human being that moves. So I believe that if I can get you to obey Scripture, I'm being the best friend I can be to you. I believe it's always right for you, Dan. I believe it is always right for you, Corey. I believe for every age, man, woman, every teenager, it is always right and best for you. You will be happier in the end. You will be fulfilled and completed if you will obey the Scripture. However, if you choose to throw God out of your life, you're not very wise. You're not very wise. Wise people obey God's teachings. Say that with me. Wise people obey God's teachings. All right? Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Now look at verse 14. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Turn to chapter 10. Now look at verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. The Bible says some people do not know what is best for them. If you put it right in front of them, they don't have the wisdom to understand. You got to beat it into them. I mean, they're going to spend a lot of time suffering at the hands of the rod of mom and dad. And then when it gets beyond mom and dad, the civil authorities will take over. It'll be juvenile hall. It'll be prison somewhere. Because they don't have the wisdom to let life work for you. They're constantly in trouble. And as a result of that, the rod's what's due for them. How many people in life have just gone out of one problem into another one, and always following this elusive dream that one day they're going to really get it together? You're not going to get it together until you get wise enough to start following the right guides in life. And so from this we learn, wise men will try to understand. Wise men would try to understand. Well, I just don't understand. Why is it that if there's a holy God, why does God allow? Well, that's a good question. But you see, wise people will try to understand it. See, most people that ask questions aren't asking questions. Most people do not want to know the answers. Very few people inside the church that ask me questions don't really want to hear the answer. They're using that as a cop-out, as an excuse. Well, the reason why... Well, I just want to know, why does God allow suffering? Now, you're not interested in hearing why God allows suffering. You don't care. That is your excuse for blowing God off so you can get out here and behave like an idiot and misbehave and make heroes out of the people that's living like a bunch of harlots. You won't admire them, and so what you want to do is say, well, God's not a loving... You don't want to hear the answer. That is the easiest thing in the world to explain. I've never had anybody that I've ever sat down with that asked me that question. What I got through didn't say, well, I understand it. It's not hard to explain. But it's hard to explain to somebody that don't want to hear it. Now, that's hard to explain. A lot of people don't want it. They don't want the answer no more than a thief wants to find a cop. They're not looking for it. But people that have wisdom, total different story. Preacher, I don't understand this. This bothers me. What? Why does this happen? Why does God allow? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why would a little baby die? Now, there are people that are struggling with that. And they won't. The answer. They're seeking to understand. They're trying to understand God. That's a total different thing. And the Bible says that wisdom is the person that honestly tries to understand the answers to hard questions. You see the difference? One doesn't want it. It's an excuse. The other one honestly is trying to seek it. The Bible tells us from this we learn wise people will seek to understand. They'll try to figure out what's going on here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Everybody with me? Amen. What are the actions of wisdom? How do you know a wise person when you see one, when you talk to one, when you're around one? What's the criteria? Is it just because they've memorized the Encyclopedia Britannica? Is that what you think wisdom is? So look at verse Proverbs chapter 9 and look at verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, from this we learn, notice that people with wisdom have a fear of God. People that have wisdom have a fear of God. You can fear God and love Him at the same time. My very best friend growing up was my father. Did more with Dad than I did with anybody. We hunted, we fished, played music together. He carried me with him everywhere he went. He was my buddy. But he could scare me half to death. When he went to get his belt, boy, did that ever get this country gentleman in gear. I feared his wrath. For a good reason. He was never mean to me. But he did want me to do right. And he had the character to tear my little happy hide up when I needed it. And I never wanted to spank him, never wanted to whip him. But every one I ever got, I deserved, maybe with a couple of exceptions. But those two exceptions, my dad's philosophy was, when I complained, son, have you ever, ever gotten by with something? I said, well, not much. He said, now, have you ever gotten by with anything? Well, yeah, all right, then that whipping was the one you got by with. He had a simplistic view of life, but it worked for him. So, what I'm saying is the Bible teaches us that wisdom has a healthy fear of God. If you don't fear God, you're not very wise. See, I believe that I could go out of here tonight and I could use my liberty and I could do some things that would bring shame to my wife and my family and to this church. I could do something in one evening that would break the heart of my God. I don't want to do that because I don't want to grieve Him because I love Him. And the second reason I don't want to do it is because I'm scared of Him. And if you're not scared of God, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. Well, I just don't believe God would. Well, let me tell you how the best way you can find out what God will do is to read the Bible and see what God has already done. You see, that's the way you can know what God is like. Look at what He's done. And the Bible says, I will visit your transgression with a rod. We talked about this Sunday. If you're a Christian, if you're really saved, you're a member of God's family, and you cannot get by with what your friends could get by with. And if you've got wisdom, there's a fear of God that'll keep you from going wrong a lot of times. You know, there were a lot of times when I was a teenager, there was something I was thinking about doing, and I might would have done it. And what kept me from doing it was I didn't think I'd get by with it. We had a school superintendent whose name was Floyd Locke. He was a Korean War vet, meaner than an acre of garlic. Boy, I'm telling you, we were scared to death of him. And rightly so. The guy was about half nuts. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When he became superintendent, some things straightened up around there among the senior high boys. Because everybody's scared of him. Do you know, you can fear and yet you can love, can't you? Same person. There ought to be a healthy fear. Wisdom is having a healthy fear of God. Knowing that I can't do this. I'd be scared to death to do this. That's a wise fear. Turn to Proverbs 11. Look at verse 12. Proverbs 11 and verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. You know, from this we learn wisdom, number 15. Wisdom is learning to show respect for others. You know, people that go around just kind of spitting on everybody that they meet in life, except the few little folks that kind of forward your rebellion, you're just not very wise. I want to tell you, be careful how you treat people on your way up the ladder, because that's the same bunch you're going to meet on your way down. And maybe your attitude is, I don't need nobody. I don't need anybody at all. I'm my own man. Well, you're doing a great job of running it. Wisdom treats people with respect. That's what Jesus was talking about, doing to others as you'd have them do unto you. Don't we all just want to be left dignity? You know, a policeman can pull you over, and he can pull you over and request your license, and he can examine whatever he wants to, and he can tell you that you were speeding or you were or a violation, or you got a light out, or he can do that. He can do it and represent the law and enforce the law and still leave you your dignity. Or he can use his badge and he can come in and just try to strip you of any human dignity, and that's not a very wise officer, is it? He's not representing his job very well. And when we treat people that way in life, you can treat people that work under you like they're a dog. You can treat people that work above you the same way. You can treat your friends, your brothers. You can treat your parents. You can treat church members in your family, church, the same way. But you're not very wise if you haven't learned to show a little respect. So the Bible says that a wise person is that person that shows respect for others. I turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Just looking at what the Bible says about wisdom tonight, amen? What are the actions of a wise man? How would you know a wise person if you saw them? Look at chapter 8. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. It says that wisdom dwells with prudence. Notice, turn to chapter 16 and look at verse 21. A little prudence. Look at verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. What is prudence? How would you define a person with prudence? Dignity? Control? How about discretion? When a person is prudent, that person uses discretion. Discretion is that art of working with people and being able to have enough wisdom to understand people's lives around you. That's prudence. The Bible teaches us that wisdom is using discretion in everything that we do. You know, you can use a little discretion and if you're an employer, and you'll have happier employees. You know, you can use discretion if you're a husband and you'll have a happier wife. You know, you can use discretion if you are a teenager. You'll get along a lot better with your parents and your youth friends around you. You'll get along better with your teachers at school. You can use discretion and you're going to be a better person in life. Question is, do you have the wisdom enough to take the time to exercise discretion? You see that? You know, as a pastor, I'm trying to teach the Bible to you, but I've got to have enough wisdom to use some discretion in it. Now, I say some things that's kind of stout. And I know that. And I got to prepare you to receive it. So if you watch my preaching technique, and I'm giving out my trade secrets tonight, you can usually tell when I'm fixing to hit you right between the eyes. Because I set you up for it. And I'm doing that because I'm trying to use a little discretion. I've seen people get so mad at me, they just get out and walk out. Well, I'm not helping them much if I run them out of the church. If I got up tonight and say, and I believe the Bible, and if I got up tonight and said to everybody that if you don't tithe, then you all just leave. Well, I mean, the Bible teaches you all to tithe. And you can say, boy, Brother Riggs, you know, he didn't back up. He said, but if I say either tithe or get out of the church, do you reckon maybe I might be lacking in a little discretion? Well, you know, I listen, I'm just blunt. I just tell people exactly what I think. Do you reckon sometimes maybe a little discretion would be wise? So, you know, if I get up here and I need to preach the truth. But don't you think I should use some discretion with it? And where that line is, I'm not sure we ever know. If when I think I'm balanced, I'm usually not. But and maybe we go back and forth across the line. But we need to use discretion with one another. Wisdom is using discretion in everything we do. Turn to chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11. Are you following me? Am I making sense tonight? Or do I sound like a preacher? Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 2. And the Bible says in verse 1 that a false balance is an abomination. I believe the most important thing in our Christian walk is to stay on balance as best we can. Don't get off on one side. Don't get off on the other one. Try to be balanced. But it says that a false balance is an abomination of the Lord. But look at verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Notice that wisdom, from this we learn, is showing humility. Boy, and you know, the sports world today needs to learn a little humility again, don't they? And you do see it. You'll see it whether it's the NBA or wherever. You'll see them where they're interviewing and some of the guys and some of them that are megastars in the NBA, and they interview them, and I marvel at their humility with the way they handle it. And then there are the others. I'm the greatest. You know, the Muhammad Ali thing. Best there ever was. The only problem is he was. But he could back it up. But I wish he'd let others praise him and he kept his own mouth shut. But the point of it is that wisdom is showing humility. And the Bible tells us that a wise person is humble. Now, what are the benefits of wisdom? What are the benefits of wisdom? What does the Bible say? Turn to Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 1. At some of the benefits. Okay, all right, I see what you're talking about, wisdom, but what does that do for me? Well, let me show you what it does for you. Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Everybody look at me. You can make your home. You young people look at me. You can make your home a happy place to go home to tonight. Or you can put a heaviness in your home like a cloud because of your foolishness. You see that? A wise son maketh a glad father. You know, we teach all the time about how to be a good father and a good mother, and we need to, and the Bible has a lot to say about it, and all summer long we'll be speaking on that on Sunday evenings on the home, and we'll talk a lot about being a good father. But you know what? The Bible talks a lot about being a good son or a good daughter too. And it says here that a wise son makes a glad home. Makes a happy home. You go home and you've not been very wise and you've been foolish. Not a happy place to be, is it? I told you a while ago my dad was my best friend, but boy, he wasn't when I was doing something wrong. I was hoping he didn't come home. The last person on earth I wanted to see. And if he was home, I didn't want to be where he was. If he's in the house, I'd go outside and sit in the porch swing. Directly I looked, he'd come out and sit down in the porch swing with me. Hey, son, you want to pick the guitar a little while? I want to pick the guitar with him. I'm not really in the mood for it today. I need to study some. He knew I was lying right then. But wisdom makes a happy home. Boy, I can remember as a kid and be in trouble about something, and man, oh, I hated the atmosphere in the house. And I can remember finally when that thing got brought out in the open, when it was finally over, it felt so good to have the air clear again. You know what a wise son makes for a happy home? Amen. How many of you see this? Do you see this? So, what are the benefits of wisdom? Turn to chapter 15. Look at verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. I just can't stand my mother. I just can't stand my dad. They don't understand me. Not much wisdom in that. Now I know that a lot of daddies have made a lot of bad decisions and bad moves, and a lot of mamas have made a lot of mistakes. And I don't think you're going to find a perfect parent in this church. But wise kids know how to help mom and dad be the best they can be. You know, people talk about leaders. You know what makes good leaders? Good followers. See, leaders don't climb up over the top of people. Leaders are lifted up from below. That's what really... Now, there's a lot of people that aspire to be leaders. They think they want to be a leader. They think they are one. And the way they do it is by just running roughshod over everybody else. That's not what leadership is. Leadership is when people lift you into roles of leadership. What makes a good leader are good followers. You can make your home a happier home if you'll have the wisdom to do so. Turn to chapter 23. Look at verse 15. It says, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine." Son, if you will just use wisdom in life, my heart's just going to be leaping out of my chest in happiness. What are the benefits of wisdom? Look at chapter 23, verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. So from this we learn, what are the benefits of wisdom? Number one, wisdom brings peace and joy and happiness to the home. Wisdom brings peace and joy and happiness to the home. If you are wise enough to use discretion in your life choices and enough to discipline yourself in your choice of friends and behavior and things you do, if you've got enough wisdom to do that, you're going to go a long ways toward helping mom and dad have a good, happy life at home with you. All right? So wisdom brings peace and joy and happiness to the home. Turn to chapter 8. Look at verse 35, Proverbs chapter 8, and look at verse 35. It says, "Whoso findeth me," and he's personifying wisdom, "whoso findeth me findeth life." I mean, if you really want a happy life, boy, you want to get to know wisdom. "Whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." If you are using wisdom in your life, then you're going to walk the way you ought to walk before the Lord. And God's favor is going to be on your life choices. Now I want you to understand, and don't get confused on this. God loves you no matter how you behave, because God's love, if you're a child of God, is unconditional, just as parents love. Parents are going to love you. If you become the biggest mess up there ever was, mom and dad's going to love you. But you see, if you have some wisdom in how you choose the decision, life choices you make, then you're going to make life happier for you and your parents, and you're going to start reaping good things instead of reaping bad things. Life is sowing. You're going through and you're sowing seeds right now. If you're 15, you're sowing seeds. If you're 12, you're sowing seeds. If you're 29, you're sowing seeds. If you're 65, you're sowing seeds. Now those seeds you're sowing are going to come up, but they're going to bring either good things that's going to bless you, or they're going to bring up things that's going to prick you and make your life miserable. Now the key is, do you have enough wisdom to choose what you sow? And if you're so choosing to go to parties and get drunk and sniff marijuana and fool with drugs, and then what you're sowing is cactuses. That's what you're doing. It's my life. I want to run it. I know people that's not even out of junior high. Look at the job you're doing running it. Wisdom says, man, I like to have help wherever I can get it. There are married couples do not have the wisdom to seek counsel to help you. You got too much pride. You think you got the answers already. You don't have the wisdom to just trust God, do it God's way. There are people that are in their 70s and they've not got enough wisdom to get out of kindergarten in God's book. Because all they want to do is what feels good to them. That's not wise. Use wisdom in your life choices. It is your life. So why would you want to cripple your life by not having wisdom? So, look at chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 20. We're looking at what the Bible says about wisdom. He that handleth, verse 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. If you will use wisdom in how you handle a matter, that matter can be between a husband and a wife, that matter can be between you and your boss, that matter can be between you and your friends or you and your neighbor. So just use wisdom. Just use wisdom in how you handle a matter. So from this we learn, what are the benefits of wisdom? Number one, it brings peace, joy, and happiness to the home. Number two, wisdom brings God's favor on your life. Why? Because you are sowing the seeds that God can bless instead of having to curse them. That's what wisdom is. Let's stop there. Let's bow our heads tonight.
I so want to help you tonight. I want to be a help to husbands and wives. I want to be a help to the senior citizens of our church. I want to be a help to moms and dads. I want to be a help to our young people and to the single adults that are trying to make a life. Take this study and look at it in your heart. Go back and run these references again. Ask yourself, how am I doing? How am I doing? Out of the choices that I've made the last 3 months, just how wise are the decisions I've been making? It is your life. Wisdom says, I want God to be able to help me be happy. In a moment, we're going to stand. I wonder how many, just to be honest tonight, and say, preacher, boy, tonight's study put the finger right on my need. I need some wisdom in the things I'm doing. I'm afraid I've not been very wise in a lot of things lately. I sure wish you'd pray with me. Would you just slip your hand up and hold it up? Hands are going up all over the house. Let's stand, shall we? And as we stand, maybe you'd just like to come and find a little place in the altar and say, God, without you, Lord, I'm sunk. I don't know how to do the things I need to do wisely. I do know, Lord, that I'm willing to be teachable. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to try.
come and kneel and talk to God about it. God, grant me wisdom. Father, I pray for every one of these that have come to kneel to the Lord tonight. And Lord, each one comes, no doubt, with its own burden, with its own circumstances. But Father, they all come seeking Your direction in their life. And Lord, I ask You to give them wisdom. Give them understanding. Give them a heart that is open and teachable, Lord. I ask You, Lord, to bless their needs tonight. Keep them close to You. In Jesus' name, amen. There's three things that I pray for every single day. Number one, I pray for God to give me compassion. Let my heart never get to where that I don't feel a love for God and for His people. Compassion. Number two, I pray for God to give me wisdom. Give me the wisdom to know what to do. And number three, I pray that God will help me be faithful. I want to stay faithful till the day I die. I'd rather wear out than rust out. Amen. I want to be faithful.